This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to Podcast of a Thousand Holds. My name is Mike. This week's episode is me and my buddy Roy on our way to pick up our buddy Mikey before going to Ring of Honor New Japan Pro Wrestling War of the Worlds in Lowell, Massachusetts. So enjoy.
So I'm here with my buddy Roy.
Hi.
Who we met. We met at wrestling.
Yeah, it was Fairfield, right?
Yeah. Fairfield, Maine. IWE show, probably.
Most likely.
I think we had seen each other a lot before, just being both fans at the show, and then I don't know what the catalyst was to start talking. It just sort of seemed to happen.
I couldn't tell you what it was.
I don't know. And then now we have at least one yearly out-of-state trip to go to wrestling.
At the very least, it's one.
That's how it's evolved, you know. And we're May 9th. We're heading to Lowell, Mass. To go see Ring of Honor New Japan Pro Wrestling War of the Worlds. And this will be our third year in a row going to Lowell for a Ring of Honor show. First one that's not a pay-per-view. Back in 2016, we went to All-Star Extravaganza 8, which had that kick-ass ladder match.
Oh, my God.
And we were front row right there on the aisle. And when Nick Jackson went through the table right next to us, and I felt the ground shake from him hitting the ground, I felt bad for him instantly.
And they did the Meltzer driver to the floor right in front of us.
Yeah, well, through the table, yeah. And then they did one through the table later, but yeah, the Meltzer driver right on the floor in front of us. I mean, it was... Yeah, good seats. Good seats. And then last year in June, we went to Best in the World.
Yep.
And again, front row, same exact seats we had for All-Star Extravaganza, you know, the 9 months before. And once again, we were treated to a pretty awesome show and lots of wrestling right in front of us.
Oh, Shane Taylor was just about fighting on top of me.
So again, that was another great show. That was another pay-per-view. Today is, quote-unquote, just a house show, but they put it on their Honor Club or whatever they call their streaming service.
With them, just a house show is not just a house show.
Fair enough. And we have a lot of New Japan talent on the show tonight. We have front row again, but we couldn't get the same exact seats we sat the last two times. But we're still on an aisle, which is good because I really like to spill over an aisle because I'm a man of size and girth.
We're on an aisle?
Yes. We're in the center. We're on there's like a gap between our seat and the guy next to us.
Oh, okay.
In the front row, they put spacers in between the sections, you know what I mean?
I think I get what you're saying.
So yeah, so we're in the middle, we're like in the middle of the ring, but we have the space between us, us and the next people.
Gotcha.
Yeah. At least that's what it showed on the seating chart, that there was a gap.
Oh, about 4 hours, we're going to find out.
Yeah, exactly. So, another good card tonight. Again, it's a house show, quote unquote. But regardless, that's not why I want to talk to Roy today. I want to talk to Roy because I want to know. And I think we've talked about this privately, but I want to get it on the show. What do you remember starting to watch wrestling? Like, what's your first wrestling memory?
Well, I'm kind of like you.
Yeah.
Where I can't remember the first time I ever watched wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just not in my brain.
It's just always been there.
Yeah, there's never been a time in my life where it hasn't.
Yeah, I don't have that, oh, I turned it on the TV and, you know, there was Wahoo McDaniel or there was Hulk Hogan. And it's just, it's always been there.
But some of my earliest memories that I can remember is seeing, I think it was like Superstars.
Yeah.
That's one of the few shows I could watch because I spent the weekends at that time at my grandparents' house and they had cable where I didn't at my house. And it was like the end of an episode of Superstars, and I remember seeing Men on a Mission celebrating winning.
Yep. So I was just going to ask you, what was your first significant wrestling memory? I've told you before, mine's WrestleMania 4, seeing that live. I watched, you know, WrestleMania 1, 2, and 3, and all kinds of Crockett promotions, stuff like that before, but like, that was like, other than watching tapes and watching the Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday shows, my first like live wrestling experience was watching WrestleMania 4, like on pay-per-view. I guess maybe prior to that would have been Saturday night's main events, but the WrestleMania 4 is what stands out in mind most significantly. Do you have something like that?
Well, I kind of got two of them, and they're spaced way apart from each other.
Okay.
My dad took me to my first ever wrestling match ever.
Okay.
When I was 7 in 1995.
Where was that?
Bangor Auditorium.
Bangor, Maine. Yep.
And we were sitting just about as far back as you could possibly get.
Yep.
I didn't care. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Now, this is a WWF show, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And actually, I think the main event of this card, if I remember correctly, was, and I, to this day, despise this match type, it was Tatanka against Bam Bam Bigelow in a strap match.
Why do you like dislike a strap match?
Because the ending is exactly the same every time.
Oh, the four corner, they drag to the four corners?
And the baby face is smacking the corner.
Yes, and the heel gets it. Okay.
Yeah.
The heel's hitting right behind the baby face, or the baby face is hitting right behind the heel.
And he doesn't know that he's doing it.
Okay.
I hate that.
I like the strap match version where you have a pinfall for the finish.
Okay.
I like that, like where you hogtie the guy and pin him.
Okay, yeah, you know what I mean? Or much better.
Or like the Roddy Piper, Greg Valentine chain match.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where the strap is in there, but it's not. Like when we went to Best in the World last year, they had advertised a strap match between Hangman Adam Page and Frankie Kazarian, and I was a little disappointed because
strap matches are terrible.
No, because they didn't have the strap that connected them. I'd never seen a strap match live.
That was the best type of match I've ever seen.
Well, okay, they each had just a small, like, 2-foot strip of leather that they had. So they had a leather strap, and they just whipped each other. And then they brought the one out with nails in it at the end that was, like, not little, like, carpenter tack nails. I mean, these were, like, number 2 nails or something. I mean, they were big nails.
Harry was bleeding everywhere.
Oh, so wasn't Paige. I mean, like, it was taking chunks out of them. Mm-hmm. But regardless, so, again, sorry. So that was your first live show. Was that December 1995?
No, August.
Not December, August 1995.
And I think, yeah, Shawn Michaels and Diesel were on there, and I think they fought Men on a Mission, I think.
That seems like an accurate time frame for that match to happen.
One of the other ones. Yep. And, the first live pay-per-view that I ever ordered, and it kind of bugs me that it was this one, and I'll explain why, but it was Judgment Day 2002.
Okay.
Which had Jericho and Triple H in Hell in a Cell.
Okay, why does it bug you?
Because the DVD cost $50 to buy it.
Oh.
Because it's so rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, I'll never have the DVD of it, you know what I'm saying?
I'm surprised they haven't re-released that on a cheaper yet.
Yeah, you never know. Anything could happen nowadays. But, that was the first time I'd ever ordered a live pay-per-view.
Did you ever make it to, like, a WCW show?
Yes, I did, actually. They had one house show in Bangor.
I knew this. That's why I was leading you into it.
And,
because I went to, that was in 96? No, 98.
98, yeah.
Because they did the house show in Bangor, like, on Saturday. And then that Wednesday or Thursday, they did a TV taping in Portland, which didn't make any sense. Because if you were to go online and look up the tour there, they did. They were, like, in Maine, and then they went, like, out of New England, and then they came back to Maine for the TV taping.
I don't remember much of that card because, I mean, I was only 10.
Yeah.
But I do, the main event stuck in my head because it was the Giant against Nash.
Yep.
And they were fighting up the entryway, smashing each other with chairs. And I think it ended up being either a double count out or a double DQ or something like that.
No, that was the only house. That's the only house show that WCW ever ran in Maine. It's the only show they ever ran in Bangor.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Goldberg was on that card, by the way.
I do not remember that.
He was. Bill Goldberg was on the card because I remember I didn't go to the Bangor show because I had tickets for the TV taping.
Yep.
And Goldberg was not at the TV taping, but he was at the house show that Saturday prior.
Now, were you into Goldberg at that time?
I don't know if I was into Goldberg per se as much it was he was the, you know, like the biggest generic star, or not generic, but the biggest homegrown star WCW ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So he was he was very popular then. So it would have been cool to see him live because he was so popular then.
Especially in that time period.
Especially in that time period, you know, during his initial run, if you will. Yes. However, the fact that he wasn't at the TV taping, but he was at the house show, just kind of surprised me.
Yeah, aside of that main event, really, the only, and it's kind of strange that these are the two people that stick out in my mind, was Kidman and Sick Boy.
Yep.
Yeah.
They probably had a killer match.
I like I said, I couldn't really tell you.
So, did you ever go to a TNA card?
Yep. The only time they ever came to Maine, down in Portland.
I was at that show as well. That was a great show.
Oh, the main event was sick.
The main event was awesome. Yeah.
And I did pay the $20 to get my picture with AJ Styles in the ring.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it was with my ex-girlfriend, who needs to be edited out.
Well, that's easy to do.
Yeah, I just haven't got around to it.
I did not pay the $20 to get my picture with AJ in the ring. I had met him at a big-time wrestling show previous to that. However, I love the fact that all the TNA wrestlers... We had second row ringside on the entryway.
Okay, I was sitting back by where the hockey boards would be.
Yep. That's where I sat for my first ever WWF show in 1989. I sat front row of that. Like, it was me, and then there's the hockey wall.
Oh, yep. That's
right on. Right, like, the aisle was right to my right, over a little bit. And I remember when Hogan came out, everybody stood up, and I was only 10 years old, and I stood up too, but I could not see Hogan until he got up on the ring.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So, but anyways, I was at that TNA show as well, so that's kind of cool. I was. What was your first indie show?
I can't remember what group it was.
Yeah.
But it was associated with the Bangor State Fair.
Okay. That was probably some generic.
Yeah. I do remember, and I was maybe like 12 at the time. My dad took me, obviously, because my mom, believe it or not, she was into wrestling as a kid, but pretty much despises it now.
Yeah.
So we went to the show, and like on the card was Honky Tonk Man.
Yep.
Jim Duggan. I think Brutus Beefcake was on there. And did I say King Kong Bundy?
No, that doesn't surprise me.
He was there.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of the wrestler Judas Young.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Judas Young.
Okay, he was on the card.
Yep.
And, of course, after the show, a lot of the wrestlers are roaming around the ring. And you could go and get your picture with Jim Duggan, which I did do. My dad talked him into choking me in the Polaroid.
Nice.
I got it at the house somewhere. I just can't find it. But Judas Young comes up to us. And, of course, he's kind of dressed up like Jeff Hardy would have looked like around 2000.
And he had the little blonde spiky hair then.
Yep.
He did some stuff for NWA on Fire.
Yep, actually, I have some of those episodes on video. But he had, you know, the arm socks like Jeff Hardy, and he was come up to me and my dad, and he was talking to me, and he was saying, "Oh yeah, I'm working a deal with WWE or F at the time, and I'm going to give him Monday Night Raw and this and that." And he says, "You should buy my autograph. It's going to be worth a lot of money."
Oh, jeez, bro. That's so cheesy.
Of course, I was 12, 13. Yeah. I didn't know any better.
So you're like, okay.
Yeah, I was wicked excited. And I'm like, "Hey, Dad, can I get $10 to get this guy's autograph? He's going to be famous and this and that." And so my dad reluctantly gives me $10. And, of course, gave him $10, and he signed it, and I was all excited and this and that. Never saw the guy again for like 10 years till I seen him on NWA on Fire.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thinking, wow, that was a waste of $10. Ruined it though, because I jacked it on the ball.
So after that indie show, when did you start going to shows regularly? I mean, like, your dad took you to your first WWE show. Did he take you on any more? My dad took me to one show, and then I didn't go to any more until I could get my driver's license. How was it for you?
Oh, he'd take me every time they came to Bangor, which, when I was younger, it was every year until 97.
Yep.
And 97, they had Triple H against Undertaker in a casket match.
Nice.
And my dad still talks about that one to this day, because he thought it was extremely hilarious that when he put Triple H in the casket, because China kept getting involved the whole time, he stuffed her in there too.
Oh, nice.
And he thought that was the funniest thing. But
he probably stuffed them in there in the 69 position too, knowing WWE in 1997.
I couldn't tell you. But That was the last one until 2001.
Yeah, they took like a few-year hiatus from coming up here.
And that one was during the Alliance.
Yeah.
And actually that had Brock Lesnar before he debuted on TV.
Okay.
Beat the ever-loving piss out of Crash Holly.
Seems accurate.
And the main event was for the Hardcore title. was RVD against Raven.
Yeah, they did that same show basically in Bangor. I mean, Portland that same weekend.
And I almost remember that they used, you know, those hooks you use for picking up logs?
Yep.
I think they used one of those as a weapon in that match.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so this is a weird thing for me, but, like, I live in Gardner, so Augusta Civic Center is my closest venue for wrestling.
Yep.
The first ever WWE show I took my son to was in Bangor at the auditorium.
No kidding.
Yeah, because they were doing Bangor and Portland that weekend, and Bangor always tended to be the tickets, for whatever reason, at that time, they were always $5 to $10 cheaper in Bangor than Portland.
Really?
Yeah, it was some weird thing, but yeah, like, it'd be like $50 for front row in Bangor, $55 in Portland. Hmm. And I don't know why that is. Now they're all universally ridiculous, being $100+ for front row, Bangor, Portland, or Augusta, or even Lewiston. It doesn't matter. But so for me, like, I've talked with a few other friends, I'm a venue guy. Like, I like going to the different venues in Maine. So, like, I've seen WWE at the Bangor Auditorium, the Coliseum in Lewiston, the Augusta Civic Center, the Cumberland County Civic Center. And I believe you have likewise.
I haven't seen it in Portland.
You haven't been to Portland?
Nope. The last time they came to Lewiston, I did go to that one.
Yeah, we went together.
Yep.
Well, there was a bunch of us there. We just didn't always sit together.
Personally, I find that to be the best WWE house show I've ever seen.
The one in Lewiston?
Yeah. That one?
That was a good show.
Very good.
That was a very good show. Yes, it was.
Usually when those guys come up here, they just mail it in.
They've only ever done two shows in Lewiston. The best WWE house show I ever went to in Maine was, I think it was in 2009.
Okay.
It was during Christmas time in Portland, and the main event was John Cena against Randy Orton, and the Civic Center was sold out. And it's the first time I'd ever been to the Civic Center in Portland for a sold-out show. Maybe in 89 they were, I don't know. But the place was packed. You could literally feel the heat. The fans hated Randy Orton, and they loved them some John Cena. And there was a spot early in the match where Randy Orton took a powder. I'm going to go straight here. Where Randy Orton took a powder and went over to, like, the corner by where we are, because we were sitting in the second row. And this girl ran up to touch him, like, rub his chest or some shit. And he flicked his hand out, just like, get away from me. And the way she recoiled, it looked like that he hit her. And the way she cried out and everything, but he didn't. But oh my god, the heat, you could, like, first time I've ever, like, I felt like, oh, I think there's gonna be a riot. Like, it was so.
What year did you say this was?
I want to say it was like 2009, 2008.
Is that when he was doing the whole deal, like when he punted Shane McMahon and DDT'd Stephanie and all that, and everybody hated him?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. So I have been I haven't been to the new Bangor Auditorium yet for wrestling. The Cross Insurance Center. I can't even talk out loud.
Cross Insurance Center.
Thank you.
I've been there two or three times.
Yeah.
And, like, personally, I think the attendance has always been really bad.
I like the feel of the auditorium, though. The Bangor, the old building where you kind of went in, you had to kind of go downstairs, the bleachers and everything.
Like, here's the thing with the old auditorium. Like, I love the old auditorium.
Yeah, I thought it was a great venue.
We are probably, like, the only two people that say that, because
I went to the old Bangor Auditorium for two cards. One, the Kanan's first ever one, which might have been the last time they ran the auditorium. And then my buddy Rude and I went up there once instead of going to Portland because we'd never been to the auditorium.
Mm-hmm. But this building, it's, like, kind of like your typical old auditorium.
Yep.
It was cold in the wintertime, hot as hell in the summer.
Yep.
They'd get those big fans going on the roof, and it'd blow everyone's body odor all around.
Yep. It's fantastic.
There wasn't a comfortable seat in the place, and the sound system was horrible. But it was unbelievable going to wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Like, to me, that's a lot of the fun. So, to continue our discussion, if you can hear some background music now, it's because we're at Val's driving, getting some lunch, and they got a lot of outside music playing, but I'm just going to keep talking anyways. I don't care. So, we talked about the Bangor Auditorium being a great venue to go to wrestling. Now, you've never been to the Cumberland County Civic Center.
Well, I did for the TNA show, but never for WWE.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Which, at that show, they were giving out free event posters.
Yep.
And of course, you know, they had wrestlers zooming all over the place, signing any, you know, anything you had for nothing.
Oh, I mean, I got cards signed that night by Suicide.
I think at that point, was that Kazarian?
It was Kazarian that night, yeah. I got cards. I got my picture taken with and cards signed. I got some Japanese cards and a TNA card signed by Ayako Hamada. I got Bobby Roode to sign a card that had already gotten signed by Chris Harris. I mean, sorry, not Bobby Roode, James Storm, I mean.
Okay, yeah.
Signed a card that had already gotten signed by Chris Harris.
That's sweet.
So I have, like, that America's Most Wanted tag team card signed. Matt Morgan signed a card for me.
No, that's not. Excuse me. Beer money.
No, James Storm and Chris Harris was America's Most Wanted.
Okay, you got me confused.
I know. I said Bobby Roode at first, but I meant James Storm.
I got you. Okay.
I did get Bobby Roode to sign a card. I got, you know, Matt Morgan to sign a card. I mean, it was just awesome. All the wrestlers just kind of walk around shooting shit and signing autographs and everything. And then we went over by the souvenir stand because they had it down on the actual floor.
Yep.
And the only other time I remember the souvenir stand being down on the actual floor was my first ever Bangor Auditorium show.
Mm-hmm.
And a show I went to at the Augusta Civic Center. They had the actual souvenir stand down on the floor itself instead of, like, out in the lobbies and everything. But anyways, we went over to the souvenir stand to look around, and Desmond Wolfe came over, you know, Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah, I didn't see him when I was there.
He was drinking a Michelob Ultra. He wrestled Kurt Angle that night. That was a great match.
I remember that. I just don't remember
him great match.
Roaming around.
So I grabbed a photo with Nigel McGuinness as well.
That's excellent.
Yeah. It was when I went to the, and it was the six-sided ring.
Yep.
And it was a full-size one.
Yep.
Now, I went to one other TNA show at the Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom a couple years prior to that, and they used a six-sided ring, but it was like a pony ring. It was like such a small ring, but, of course, the venue. And But the same, the wrestlers were all roaming around there, signing autographs. I saw, you know, like, crap, I can think of it. It's not Mikey Betts, because that's completely wrong. But anyways.
Mikey Betts? You're not thinking of Jarrell Clark.
No, one of the Naturals. It was Chase Owens and
Andy Douglas.
Yeah, Andy Douglas, sorry.
Awesome tag team.
Yeah, outside, met him, met, I got my picture taken with Hernandez, because they had a bunch of guys came out of intermission. I got my picture taken with Terry Taylor.
No kidding.
He was like being the agent standing behind AJ Styles and Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels, who were signing autographs mm-hmm. during intermission for free. And so, they had a huge line. And I went over and asked Terry Taylor if I could get my picture taken with him, and he was more than happy to. I got a picture taken with one of the referees. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. And I got my picture taken with Jeremy Borash and a few other people and everything. That was an awesome show. I always liked how TNA had their talent go out to do that.
The thing I thought was cool about it, too, was because, like I said earlier, I got my picture with AJ Styles in the ring.
Yeah.
And I think it was Jeremy Borash, because I think he was in there.
Yeah.
Gave you a card that had a web address on it.
Yeah.
And you could go on there and get as many printouts of that picture as you wanted.
Yep. I believe that.
And on my event poster that they were, you know, some random guy was up by the concession stand, just like, hey, do you want one of these?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course I do. Yeah. And because I had nothing to have anybody sign because I wasn't prepared for that. So I've got, I got maybe 10 autographs on that poster that night, which, like, Hamada, when are you ever going to get that again?
No, you're not. Well, I saw it at Joshi Mania's show a couple years later.
But
I know what you're saying, especially this day and age, you're not going to.
And then I also got, like, Matt Morgan,
yes,
and D'Lo Brown when he was an agent for them at the time.
Yep.
And but since I've added AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and one of my all-time favorite wrestlers ever, Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that's a pretty badass poster you have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
between your poster and then your other thing that you get signed a lot is what?
My WrestleMania 29 program.
Because you went down to WrestleMania 29.
Yep.
And so this program is from all the wrestlers that were at the show, obviously. It's not like the encyclopedia where it's all the wrestlers ever type of thing.
No, it has
a bunch of the talent in it.
The roster at that particular point in time.
Yep.
As well as, you know, the announcers. And it also had the NXT roster at that time.
Yep.
And if you flip the book backwards and upside down, it's got all the Hall of Fame inductees up to that point.
So, are you bringing that with you tonight to Lowell for anyone?
Well, I was thinking about it, and then I saw how much it was to have Emma sign it.
Isn't that depressing?
It's not worth $30 to have her sign her name.
In years past, when we've gone to these Ring of Honor shows, it's $20 usually for, like, say, like Cody Rhodes is $20. The Young Bucks are $30 for a tag because they're a tag team. And it's reasonable, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Cody Rhodes is going to be, like, when I first met Cody Rhodes at Limitless Wrestling, I bought my front row ticket, which is normally $25, and then I paid an extra $10 for the VIP, mm-hmm. and I got an autograph from Cody and my picture taken with him. And he signed a couple trading cards for me is what I got done, because I'm a trading card guy. Tonight, Cody Rhodes is $40.
That's ridiculous.
You know, for just him.
Actually, speaking of him, at that same Limitless show, when I went to go see him, I just wanted him to sign my WrestleMania program.
Yep.
Which was, what, like $10, I think?
Yeah.
And then he asked me, he said, did you want a picture? And I said, well, I didn't pay for one. And he says, come on around here and get one anyways.
Yeah, I remember. I took the picture.
Yeah. Which, it was just, I didn't expect that.
He was such a nice guy. Like, in the past, you go up, you talk to a wrestler, and I don't want to wait. I don't want to feel like I'm taking up their time. So, like, I was talking to him, and I thought, like, all right, we're done. I said, hi, thank you, da-da-da-da. And then he goes, hey, so what'd you think of this? And he, like, kept the conversation going and made you feel so welcome. He was such a genuine, nice guy. You know, he took a picture with my son. He took a picture with me. I mean, he was just so nice and approachable.
And what's funny about it is I've listened to him talk about, you know, doing the merch table on podcasts.
Yep.
And he's actually really nervous about it.
Yes, that was, I heard the same thing. I listened to the same one where he talks about, like, the first time doing him, he didn't know what to charge people. He didn't know what to do. And then he just feels awkward being there, you know, because to him, but I don't know. I didn't.
And I think, because I think if I remember correctly, he said the part that made him the most nervous was, what if I'm standing there and no one comes to see me?
Yeah.
Then I look stupid.
That definitely hasn't been an issue for him.
And it never will be.
No, I don't think so either.
But
and I think it's because he's so genuinely nice. I've never heard of a negative experience anyone's ever had with him.
And actually, a funny story, and it's kind of about Cody Rhodes and that Limitless show, because when they announced it, was, I think it was their last Orono show that they ever did.
Yes, yeah.
And when they announced it, of course, everybody starts freaking out.
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting next to my friend Cheryl.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she says, who's Tony Rhodes?
Oh, jeez. And he said, nice one, Cheryl.
What the hell are you talking about? And then she just kind of looks at me, and I said, it's Cody Rhodes. And then just the surprised look on her face. But the funny part is she came to that Limitless show in Westbrook that had Cody Rhodes. She goes and talks to him, tells him that whole story. He thought it was hilarious.
So, going back to venues real quick, what's some of your favorite venues to go to watch wrestling?
Well, I know you've only been to this particular place once, but Cityside Restaurant in Brewer, Maine.
Yep.
Really kind of, it's kind of a special place in to me anyways, because...
Is it
because
it feels like it's your hometown? I mean, you live in Brewer.
Well, I live in the next town over.
Okay, but, fair enough. But it's like your hometown venue.
Yeah, and I've been going to shows there for almost 10 years now.
It's kind of like probably me in the Fairfield Community Center. I've been going to shows there for like 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things where it's... I don't know. There's this when I go there, and I've been to many different types of shows there, many different leagues have run there, you know, from New Wrestling Horizons to IWE to Main Event Wrestling to Wrestling is Awesome to NWA on Fire. I mean, there's been so many different promotions that have run there. So for me, it's kind of got that same, that hometown feeling, that my hometown venue, if you will.
Because that Cityside Restaurant, I've seen some incredible wrestling that you wouldn't expect to see in a little tiny, it's a back room at a pizza restaurant.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got the drop down ceiling. So like they have to modify anything to do with, you know, top rope
Yeah.
related moves. But, I've seen just wrestling that's incredible, and then I've seen some that's toilet bowl worthy. You know what I mean? I see everything there.
One thing that surprises me about both Cityside Restaurant and like the Fairfield Community Center, which I consider like my home promotion or venue, I've been going to wrestling there 14 years, like I said, is the number of talent we've seen in there.
Oh, incredible.
Like the show we're going to tonight, the main event is Dalton Castle against Matt Taven for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And I've seen Matt Taven in the Fairfield Community Center more than once.
Dalton Castle was there, too.
Dalton Castle's been there. Yeah, exactly.
He was
wrestling.
Ashley Remington at the time.
Yeah. Biff Busick, a.k.a. Oney Lorcan.
Fought Drew Gulak.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen him there against Drew Gulak, and he's been there more than once. Jimmy Wang Yang's been in there. Jimmy Jacobs been in there.
Mike Bennett.
Mike Bennett's wrestling there. Maria's been there.
Antonio Thomas.
Yeah.
I think he's been there.
Romeo Roselli.
Tony Atlas, a ton of time.
Tony Atlas, a ton. Yeah. Confederate Currency, Chris Hamrick.
Yep.
I saw both on the same night. I saw Sanjay Dutt and Jerry Lynn wrestling in singles. You were in Bangor. You were in Brewer that night.
I went to the one at Cityside,
yep,
Brewer.
Yeah. I mean, just the number of guys. Honky Tonk Man's been there a bunch of times. Steve Corino, Ricky Landell. The number of talent I've actually seen in that building is very surprising. From legends to new talent to Sasha Banks as Mercedes KV wrestling there, winning the IWE Women's Championship from Mistress Belmont.
She won it in Fairfield? That wasn't Brewer?
You know, I mean, she was the champion there. I thought she won the belt there. Maybe not.
If I had my computer, I've got that in the computer.
I have it on my indie results as well, but I know she was the IWE champion there, you know?
She did have a, and this was the whole reason I drove to Fairfield this particular night.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were at this one, but it was her against Mistress Belmont in an evening gown match.
No, I didn't see that one.
No?
No.
That was the whole reason I drove there that night, for good reason, you know what I mean?
But, yeah, so it's just, there have been so much talent in these two little venues we're talking about. It's just, it's surprising. It truly is surprising. Oh, Fandango.
Yep.
For me, another venue that always was a big favorite for me when I was younger, if you will, when I first started going to wrestling, indie wrestling, was the Lewiston Armory. I paused.
Never been.
So the Lewiston Armory, I was where I kind of went to, not my first indie show, but I went to a lot of indie shows there, EWA shows at the Lewiston Armory. And, again, saw a lot of great talent in there. To me, that's just a great building for wrestling. The Lowe Memorial Auditorium we're going tonight, I think, is a great building for wrestling.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I love the balcony, the setup, everything. It is absolutely just gorgeous. What's some bad venues you've been to?
Oh, some bad ones.
For anyone that's listened to this show, I've talked about Thatcher's Restaurant in Portland as being one of the most unique, oddest venues I've ever been to.
I've never actually been there, so
the floor was crooked. It had metal walls. The floor was crooked. It was literally like a build-on utility room. It's kind of crazy.
I've seen pictures of it, and I don't understand how the wrestlers actually do anything in that ring.
Because the ring's crooked from the slope in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It goes downward. Like, if you're running from, I don't know, just say north to south, you know, you're running uphill one way, downhill the other. And when you're running east to west, you're kind of running crooked.
Yep.
I saw Adam Booker against Ace Romero in, like, a no-holds-barred match there. That, by the way, they beat the shit out of each other.
That's not surprising.
Again, sorry, for you, worst venue, or bad venues.
Well, there was, one, it's in Brewer, across town from Cityside Restaurant.
Yeah.
It was, at the time, it was called the Timeout Event Center.
Okay, I read about a lot of shows being there. I never went there.
Well, you didn't miss much.
Yep.
It was, like, a pizza joint of some kind.
Yeah.
But anyways, the wrestling was upstairs. And they had pipes going all across the ceiling. And keep in mind, it was a drop-down ceiling with pipes going across it. And there was one pipe going right across one side of the ring. And for those who don't know who John the Bomb is, he's a local wrestler. But he's like, what, 6'5", 6'6"?
He's a tall guy, yeah.
He was about an inch away from hitting his head on these pipes.
Would have been funny if he would have hit the pipes.
But so needless to say, there was no jumping for him involved in this match.
I think we can both agree that the venue that the Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon was held in was not a great venue for wrestling.
No, but they certainly...
the wrestlers made up for it, yeah. But, I mean, like, the building itself was a nice building. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that ceiling, like, when Colt Cabana can stand in the ring and raise his hand up and touch the ceiling, flat hand touch the ceiling...
That's not good.
That's not a high enough ceiling for a professional wrestling show.
No.
One of the weirdest venues I ever wrestled a show in was the Rollerdrome in Auburn.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a roller rink, like for roller skating.
Okay, yep, gotcha.
Yeah, they still have roller skating there today, but it was December 1999, I want to say that's when that show was.
Huh.
Yeah, it hurts to fall on a hardwood floor. It hurts even worse to fall on a well-polished, harder wood roller rink floor.
I could imagine.
So, yeah, it's not nice.
But let's see here. Another not-so-good venue I went to was in the town of Palmyra.
The community center?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a high school gym. I thought that was decent enough.
It's okay. But what's weird about it is they've never had a good crowd there, like, ever.
Okay, I believe that.
And it's strange because I saw one of the best matches I've seen at, you know, like a main local indie. It was Matt Taven.
Yep.
Against Jeremy Prophet from Canada.
Yep.
Un-freaking believable. And I was one of maybe a dozen people there.
I was also one of those people. No, I didn't see... I saw Jeremy... When did I see Prophet Russell there and have a great match? I don't think it was Taven. Justin Credible was on the card as well.
Was that the one where Credible teamed with Giant... Or he fought Giant Pharaoh in the main event and they showed up like 2 minutes before the match?
No, that was a different show. Because he was going to be in a singles match, and then it got changed to a tag match with him and Prophet teaming.
I, for some reason, am drawing a blank on that.
I don't think you were there.
Surprising that I wasn't.
Mike Poulin was there.
That's not surprising.
But yeah, I thought that was a good venue, but you're right. They never really had a big crowd there.
In another place that was... Oh, man, and if we had more time, I got a story for this one.
Well, we can talk later.
When in Cornville, Maine.
Oh, jeez.
This is...
See, that just sounds like it's going to be a shithole because the name of the town is Cornville.
This is middle of freaking nowhere like you wouldn't believe, okay? Like, to get here, the directions are legitimately turn off the paved road.
Oh, that's Maine. That's simple, yeah.
But, you know, if that's your directions, why would you have wrestling there? But anyways, so... We get to this place, awesome building, but it's
yep.
in the middle of nowhere. It was like, I think it was the old elementary school, and okay. they had it in the gym. Well, they never drew anybody there either. And, like, they had some awesome matches. They had, what was it, a tag team TLC match one time, and then another time... They had Chris Hamrick versus Robbie E.
Well, that's a decent match.
Yeah, and it's like...
Who put those shows on?
IWE. And maybe 50 people was the best they ever drew there?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
But, like, and even the promoter at the time, Eric Johnson.
Yep.
I was talking with him about that building one time, and we both agreed that, like, if you could take that building and somehow transport it to, like, Brewer, where they draw way better?
Yep.
Bam, there you go.
See, EWA, back a long time ago, Eastern Wrestling Alliance, they were based out of Maine back in the late 90s and then early 2000s. They ran a show in Waterville at Gilman Street School.
Is that the same one that Cam ran?
And for when the EWA was there, they drew maybe 20 people. The parking was amazing, but there was... They had no light on. Like, this is so weird. There was, like, the entry, the door to get in the building was around back. It was run kind of in the wintertime, so it was dark when it started. There was no light out by the door. Like, we were all thinking, like, how people even know how to get in the damn building? There's no lights, like, to illuminate it. It was so weird. They drew, like, 20 people. I mean, it was a beautiful venue. Fast forward 10 years or so, and Chant Matthews, Cameron Matthews, runs a show there. And when I saw he was running a show there, I was like, oh, I remember this place. It's a beautiful building. But
that is awesome. That place is great.
So then he runs the show there. Was it 400 people in there? I mean, it was crazy.
There was so many people in there, you could almost not breathe.
Yeah, it was an amazing crowd. They had a scaffold match that night. You know, Tatanka, I think, was on the show, and I wasn't too excited until I saw Russell.
Speaking of Tatanka. Okay, so I was sitting in the first row. And the seat next to me was empty.
Yep.
And
I remember this.
Oh, I'm still sore about this.
I bet you are.
So, I'm a huge DVD collector. big time, right? And I bought a stack of maybe like 10 at this show. So, the seat next to me was empty. And I didn't want to go out to the car, so I just set him in the seat. Didn't really think much of it. The last, what was it, minute and a half of the main event, Tatanka, of course, he was fighting, his name was Sebastian Reese at the time, more commonly known now as Max Smashmaster.
Yep.
Was wrestling him, drags him across the building, and comes over and bounces Smashmaster's head off my stack of DVDs and breaks one.
Yeah, that was hilarious. We were sitting next to each other.
Oh, I'm sure you thought that was funny. I didn't.
I laughed and laughed and laughed because, like, they were on the other side of the ring when this started, and he literally just dragged him all the way over to our side of the ring and then bounced his face off your stack of DVDs sitting in the chair.
Yeah. Yep. Still not happy about that. And I got another story about Smashmaster that I'm not happy about either.
Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter. I am at SuperstarML. The show is at 1000 Holds Pod. And on Facebook, you can find us on Podcast of 1000 Holds. Now, it did end kind of abruptly. It's because that's when we got to my buddy Mikey's house. However, after the show was over, I did record with Roy that second Max Smashmaster story. Plus, Mikey throws in a Tony Atlas story I left there so you can hear his imitation Tony Atlas laugh. That's going to come up right after this. Thanks.
Well, I was going to say, I have my other Max Smashmaster story from earlier.
Okay.
So, I cut my finger at work, like, really bad.
Yeah, okay.
And had it sewn back together 5 days before I went to a Beyond show down in Providence, right?
Yeah.
Of course, it's all standing room for those who have never been to one. And I was kind of somewhere in the middle of a crowd. Well, Max Smashmaster is not exactly small.
No, he's a big boy.
And he comes flailing through the crowd and flings his arms out and slaps me right in my dumpy finger.
Did it get busted back open?
No, but, like, it didn't look too good when I looked at it the next day.
Nice.
Of course, I had everything I could do not to swear at him because it hurt so bad. But, yeah, every time I see that guy, something bad happens to me.
What about you, Mikey? You got any humorous or cool interactions with wrestlers or whatever?
Well, this is kind of a non-wrestling event interaction, but I used to run a gym for about a year and a half, and every day for a year and a half, I used to always see Tony Atlas. So Tony Atlas would always tell the most ridiculous stories every day about just random, like, he'd be like, oh yeah, that Mickey James. I remember Mickey James. Like talking about her like she was dead. It's like, Tony, she's still around. She's still wrestling. Or he'd be like, oh, that Mark Henry. We used to travel road, me and Mark Henry. Let me give him a phone call.